action.
Oh, action. Nice. Yes, this is Billy Crash with you here from the Last Knockhart podcast in the heat, talking to the wonderful, the engaging, and you will know it soon enough, Rob Christopher. Rob, how are you, man?
I'm doing fantastic. Good. I'm doing great, and hello to your wide audience of Last Knockers.
That's it. Ladies and gentlemen, he is on the show today not because he's crazy, because he's awesome. I think we probably grew up near each other. I have a funny feeling, man.
Yeah, we're close.
But you're a composer. You're a composer. Yes. You're a musician. You create these great dark ambient soundscapes.
And I landscape too. You know, if you pay me $50, I'll mow your lawn.
Oh man!
At least I'm not boring.
No, you're not boring at all, man.
Make it exciting.
Yeah, but it's funny because your music is a direct contrast to the man I'm speaking to right now.
I know. That's why I did podcasts. A lady friend told me, she said, you know, people are going to think horror fans know, but the hardcore horror fans, but the quote unquote regular people, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you.
You know what I mean by that? Not by like we're weirdos, but she said, you know, people are going to think you sleep in a coffin and, you know, you wake up and eat Count Chocula every day. I said, I know, but this is what I like to do for now. It's what I feel like my passion is for now. It doesn't have to be forever, but
right.
There's no we're not in that age of being locked into like these big long contracts for like 20 years that you can't get out of.
That's true.
So it's really up to me, and so for right now, that's what I like to do. And to explain it, I like to say that I'm the soundtrack. I create the soundtrack. You use your imagination, and that's where it meets, because it's just like writing. Right. If you overwrite a book, if you describe everything in detail, it's some people like that, some people don't. You got to give some room for the reader to create their own image in their mind. That's what I like to do with my music, is, you know, not play too much. That's why I was always more of a minimalist anyway, and let people listen and create their own thing. Whereas instead of telling a story, though it was based on a story, I just don't like to do the, find some sort of wreck or some sort of a historical tragedy and then say, okay, this music is this and this and this. And I don't like to do that. I prefer that people listen. And they do. I get all different kinds of compliments from, you know, it's really dark. It could, you know, sounds perfect in a horror video game or a horror movie. To, you know, some of the lighter stuff is like, wow, it sounds, you know, like very emotional or very, very light. So I do, even though it's very, very dark, there's some light. There's a silver lining in the clouds.
I like that a lot, man.
Thank you.
And there is. No, your music is very compelling. The stuff that I
Thank
heard
you.
Is just, oh, no, I'm serious. I'm not, I mean, if I didn't like
Thank
it,
you.
If I didn't like it, you wouldn't be on a show. So I,
that, that's how I know it. That's how I know, because, well, I'll save that for afterwards. I don't want to be negative. I don't want to be negative, but I'll tell you off the air. It's better that way.
All right. Fair enough. But,
Fair enough.
So how did you get into this, man? I mean, you love horror movies. You're creating this this music that's dark, which is opposite of what your personality seems to be. And so how did you get here, man? Tell us the story.
Well, I came out of the grave.
Awesome.
Okay,
Good for you.
They dug me up. And I said, okay, I had enough of this coffin. I want to see some sunshine. No. I was just being a little facetious there.
Oh, I wasn't sure.
No, seriously, my father was a musician, and probably it started there, but, you know, as a little kid, you don't really know, you know, well, you'll get, oh, the benefit, and also the benefit I give you is the sounds of New York.
I know, I heard.
You'll hear the motorcycles. If you're lucky, you'll hear fire engines and police and all kinds of other stuff. Yeah. Anyway, when I was very little, there was music in the house. Obviously, you listen to your parents' music because you have no idea what it is. I'm talking when I'm really little, 4, 5. And so it probably started there, but I didn't know it.
Right.
But then as I grew, I really started to like the guitar and then other instruments through high school and other things. But the impact was definitely hard rock music, mm-hmm. then the movie scores, but again, I didn't really know it. It was a very weird thing. I love The Shining, but when I read the book, I realized I loved the music. So yes. and the atmosphere you can't put that in the book. It's very hard. So I realized when I realized how much I really love that. That's when the epiphany happened. The light bulb went off in my head.
Right.
And I had these very specific experiences very young. So I saw The Shining in the theater,
mm-hmm.
and I saw The Thing in the theater when I shouldn't have. But if you knew the trick, you know, back in those days, that was your hack back then, was to figure out how to get it to the rated R movie,
mm-hmm.
when you really should have been in the PG movie. But I had some really cool people, even though I should have been kicked out of the movie theater. Guy was cool, and he understood that for some, I don't know, maybe because I did it several times, that he knew that I appreciated the art, I guess, you know.
Right, right.
That whole thing. So, yeah, the score from The Shining is like blows your mind.
Yes, it does.
It still blows you. It blows your mind now. So imagine when you're 10 and watching it, mm-hmm. and you're in the movie theater and you're like, holy cow, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And then and same thing with The Thing. I didn't realize how much John Carpenter had. I mean, talk about talent. Writing mm-hmm. the script, directing and mm-hmm. scoring. I mean, he had help. He had a partner sometimes, but I mean, classic theme with Halloween, and those were the inspirations for that. But then again, as time went on, did the rock thing, was crazy. You know, if you think the famous guys were crazy, I could tell you a million crazy stories about people that never made it. That were 10 times way crazier than the guys that made millions of dollars. So, yeah, you know, I did that. You know, you do the covers, and then you get sick of being with the guys, and then, you know, it's like having four girlfriends or three girlfriends. You know,
wow,
it's like,
that's expensive, man.
Yeah, very expensive. Yeah, it's like and no benefits either. You know.
Okay.
I got tired of like, just being an adult. I don't want to have to chase you after you know your girlfriend had a bad day, so that means you had a bad day. That means no, just show up. And then you got conversely, you got the opposite guys. You got the guys that want to be in the studio, you know, five nights a week, where I was like literally do the guitar solo like 57 times.
Oh, jeez.
And I'm like, you're killing it. It's like by the 20th time, that's my policy with that is like after five or six times, you know, that's it. It can only get worse.
Yeah.
It's not going to get better. It's only going to get worse. You're going to just rip the whole life out of it.
Yeah, so, you're going to lose the passion.
The passion. You can't. That's why I loved about Prince is that he, even though he was a huge superstar, if he brought in a musician,
mm-hmm.
and he captured the woman, it's like a Raspberry Beret. She played the fiddle. He didn't want her to do another one. He said, "No, I like what you captured right there. You captured something. It tickled me." And that's my same philosophy. It's like if I feel it, if it feels good mm-hmm. in your heart, instead of being way overproduced, because he could have, as Prince, he could have just said, okay, give me 10 takes and I'll take the best out of the 10 takes. But he didn't. He was like, no, that's the one. We don't need, you know, have a nice day. Go go have lunch.
Yeah, if it works, it works.
If it works, it works. Exactly. That's my philosophy. But though I went through that phase where they're like the beautiful girl that's hooked on drugs. You she's beautiful. You love her. But God, she's got this problem. It's the same thing. It's like these guys are great. They could sing, but, you know, they'll have the either lead singer syndrome, right? The extreme David Lee Roth kind of deal.
Oh, man. You know?
But with no success. Like, if you're making millions of dollars, at least you could go, all right, I can't stand this guy, but holy fuck, like, you know, we're making millions of dollars, I'll deal with it. But when you got to deal with that kind of bipolar almost, and I don't want to make fun of people that are bipolar.
No,
but,
no, I know
like,
what you're saying. No,
yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's literally, you could, from moment to moment, I'm like, you're a grown man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you know what I'm saying? It's like he would pout, he'd cry, he'd... He would do anything to get his way, and I started to realize, like, you know what, it eroded, you know, my enthusiasm, it eroded little by little, and then I just stopped completely, because I was like, I didn't know what to do with my life. I didn't really know if I was depressed or not, but I was really, and I don't want to take this lightly, but I was like slightly suicidal, because I had a few thoughts of it. Like, I'm like, you know, because your dream, you see the final package on the magazine, you know, you see the band, the success, the albums. And then when you go through this hard, ridiculous nonsense with adults, I mean, you can understand with a 5-year-old, but with a 25-year-old, it's like, you should be professional or somewhat professional or reasonable. Or we'll do your song and then we'll do my song and we'll pick which one is better. I was always up for that. I was never an egomaniac. Okay, guitar players, we love the guitar. We want the guitar solo. But even if I would have heard it back, and a producer would say, "Listen, you know, Rob, you don't need the 3-minute guitar solo."
Right.
I would be like, you know, you're right. I truncate it. Take the best of the 3 minutes. Give the essence of the song. You got to serve the song.
I love that. That's a great line, man.
You always got to serve the song. It's not about you. It's like Eddie Van Halen. Oh. He's got Eruption. He's got that spot in the show.
Yeah, he does.
He's going to do all this tapping and do all that stuff. The rest of the stuff, you don't want that in every song.
No.
So I learned that lesson. And then, like I said, it faded. But the passion was always in me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's in your blood. I guess it's like anything else. If you're into horror or if you're into anything, any kind of collecting baseball cards, or I don't know if anybody does that anymore, but you know what I'm saying? Collecting dolls. I know I got a friend that's a Kiss fanatic. He's got a whole room full. I was like, wow, dude, did you buy everything? I mean, no wonder why Gene and Paul have mansions. He's got full size statue, Gene Simmons, Paul Stanley, every doll, every record, multiple size, Japanese version. Sorry to go on a tangent, but
no, that's fine. Yeah, that's what this show's all about. So
I want to be interesting, not.
You're very interesting.
Okay, good. Because I could talk to you about notes and scales and modes, and that's boring.
No, I understand that. I mean,
I want to appeal to all your knockers out there.
Yes, and all of the knockers. They love horror movies, of course.
They love horror movies.
And so what are some things that maybe, because we love music, but we might not be a musician like you.
Right.
When it comes to like certain horror soundtracks and all, are there certain things that we should maybe be looking for? Is there certain things that maybe you do as a composer that you think is perfect for the genre? I mean,
I can help you with that. I'll give you my 2 cents. Okay. If you're looking for it, you're not doing the job right.
Gotcha.
It's sort of like a movie. If you're watching a movie for the mistakes, like if you see the cup move a quarter of an inch because they did 3 takes, or the toothbrush has moved, you don't have a movie. People are totally lost. So you really don't look. You really want to, again, almost like I said, serve the song. You might want to do one of two things. You could, it's like acting. You could play it like you knew it was going to happen, or you could play it like you're surprised. Sometimes underscoring is the best way to go, because otherwise it becomes emotional finger pointing. Like, okay, you're supposed to be scared here. You're supposed to be sad here. You're supposed to be ambivalent here. And there's nothing you can do with it, because there's only so many notes. So you're going to run into that monotonous, I wouldn't say formula, because some guys will put passion in, or they'll hire someone that's really passionate in the crew, somebody that's new. I like both ways. There's no right or wrong. It's like chocolate or vanilla or strawberry. It's whatever flavor you like. What I'm noticing now is, let me go back to like the 70s. You could go and hear the John Williams, like Jaws and Star Wars, all that stuff. Big, epic orchestral. And then you hear the John Carpenter did it, try to come up with that orchestral feel with the synth.
Yeah.
But if you notice, a lot of the stuff is just maybe one note, because he knows what he's doing. It's serving the film. It's not. This isn't a spot for like a real fast cello lead. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I know what you mean.
So he pulls. He knows to pull back. Whereas some people will go overboard with crazy piano piece or crazy arpeggios, and it's too much. To me, it's overkill.
Yeah.
You don't need to go that far. Sometimes, and I say this all the time, less is more.
Sure.
Because more. Some people say no, more is more. But I'm like, yeah, but I don't know. I don't know if you know who Yngwie Malmsteen is.
Yeah, absolutely do.
Okay,
yes,
you know,
the guitarist.
So you know,
sure.
Yngwie. Yeah, great. So you know what he believes? He believes in playing every fucking note.
Yeah.
You know, and he's great. I can't say he sucks, but you know, and that's a bad thing to say. But Eddie Van Halen knew how to write a song.
Mm-hmm.
He knew how to write a hit song. Yngwie never had a hit song.
That's true.
So that's what I'm trying to say is like you could be a master, you could have all the gear, you could have everything.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. You could have one cello and one viola and that could be your whole score because it fits. It's got to fit the movie.
Sure.
If it's agreed. You know, so that's the way I feel with that. But it went from that orchestral, then it went to, you know, the synths became more prevalent. Then that throwaway death metal scores, those were mm-hmm. a total waste. I don't know. They didn't add to the movie. They didn't really. They started to do it by financing. They're like, okay, we can get this band for like $3,000. They're nobodies. Right. They'll be happy to make the $3,000. And that's no good. That doesn't do anything for the movie because it doesn't do anything for the band. It doesn't do anything for the film. And it's easily forgotten. But I had two phases of this with the composing, and a friend asked me to play guitar on a track, and it got into a movie, got into a big movie,
cool.
And when we got the check, it was for $1.27.
What?
Yes.
What the hell? You're kidding?
Yeah, you get nothing. You don't make money. You make nothing, and it was so funny because people were like, dude, why don't you go to LA and do that? I'm like, no, I don't. I don't want to do that because there was so many people doing it. You got to be the person going the other way or at least be different or have a friend or be able to survive
right. And
wait it out. Like a lot of people from the East Coast really, they would go there for a year and then realize, wow, this is hard. I don't have any money. It's hard. You know, it's hard. You got to hobnob and you got to connect. And that's how it really works. It's really not who's the best and
no,
who's the most
who you know.
Creative. It's who you know. Yeah, it's not what you know. It's who you know.
Who you know,
so,
and if they like you.
Yeah, and if they like you, and if they can get over on you, like you know.
Yeah.
If they see that you're weak, you're gonna get crushed.
Yep, exactly.
You will get crushed. So I always have that East Coast vibe. It's not, you could hear my voice. I'm from New York, so
yep.
Can't hide it. I never. It just was like a wall. I felt like I was running into that wall, and I was like, "This isn't gonna happen." And that $1.26, was it? I don't even remember, to be honest with you. It was so low. I was like, I just gave it to my friend. I was like, "Dude, you can't even buy a slice of pizza with that." What do you do with the $1.26? Do you nail it to your wall and say, "Remember when?" I hardly did anything. I was like, "Holy cow!" But because this is how people think that. Soundtracks sell very well. They don't sell very well.
No.
Even when there was CDs was prevalent and you still had all the record stores, they don't sell well. I think it only probably sold 5,000 copies and it had 10 bands. And so you got to divvy that up between each person in all of those bands and the record, the studio is going to take their cut. And then whatever's left is divvied up amongst who knows how many people.
Do you want to share the name of the movie or no?
No, no.
No, you don't have to. I was just asking.
Sorry. I'll just tell you this. It was such an embarrassing feeling that it's really – it just like stuck in my craw. Like,
yeah.
I was like, really? That's it? Like,
sons
holy cow.
Yeah.
Like, not even sons of bitches. Just your percentage is so low. I'm like, it isn't like Warner Brothers – is like out with a fucking eye patch and a can going, hey, you know, I could use some money. You know, they got billions and billions of dollars. And I wasn't expecting to get rich. It was only, we were only one. And I wasn't even in the band. I mean, I just did the guy a favor because he knew he could call me up and say, you know, okay, Rob's reliable. He's going to show up and he's going to play. You know,
right.
That was the only reason why I got in. And I didn't, I hardly played anything. I don't even feel like I even deserved the $1.26. But nonetheless, when it came in, that was it. One check. That
Man.
Was it. Yep. So, and then I had that, like I said, you had that, you realize the, you know, the dream is like not the dream. You realize the people are a lot of phony fucks.
Yeah.
Then you get the, get the and then you're dealing with all of these personalities that I'm like, oh, dude, I understand. I would love to get all the beautiful models and the fancy sports cars, but we have to do this first. It's A, it's A then B.
Yeah.
Let's not do drugs and be heroin addicts. Because I had a friend, like, I knew a guy like that, that would tell me all the time, he goes, I don't know what am I going to do when I don't have a day job? And he slid down that slippery slope, man. of the rock star doing the, you know, they wake up at 5, 6 in the afternoon.
Right,
or PM,
right.
PM, it's like night, I guess. And then going to clubs, and then going to after-hour clubs, and then coming back. And then you start, you lose touch with reality.
Oh, hell yeah.
You lose your friends. I mean, and he had family. He had family, both his parents and sisters and brothers and cousins and everything. But he went right down that heroin slide, and I was like, wow. I'm like, I didn't know what to tell him. I was like, I feel bad for you.
I was like,
I really felt bad because I knew he could never rematriculate back into society because I never wanted to go down that route. I never tried out for bands, though. I will say this. I went to one Dio show when Dio was really, really down, and nobody liked the guitar player. Everybody hated the guitar player. Mm-hmm. And not that he was a bad guitar player. He fit for the time. I kind of felt like he fit for that I wouldn't call it grunge. It was like a more industrial sounding.
Gotcha.
You know, early 90s, mid-90s, you know, that period where it wasn't – everybody hated the hair rock. You know, I call it hair rock, not hair metal, because they weren't metal. They were just rock and roll bands.
Exactly.
But they had lots of makeup and lots of hair. But so you had that really – you wanted the antithesis of that. So you needed the really heavy, dark kind of guitar player, not the fluid, you know, 80s typical spandex guy, you know. We just had a nice conversation. That's all we did. It was a real quick conversation. But I felt bad because he got bombarded by people giving him demos, telling him how much the guy that was in his band was terrible. And he wasn't he wasn't doing big theaters or anything. He was doing small clubs. So I felt bad, but I did get to chat with him a little, and sort of, he was interested because of the way I spoke, you know, that I knew that I wasn't just the guitar guy. And plus the ego, this, like I said, serving the song. I was like, it's got to serve the song. It can't just be me just wailing away, because that's, it don't mean anything today. I told him, it's like, it's got to be riffs. And that was the end of that. And then that was the, you know, the $1.26 and the and the egos and, you know, all of that stuff wasn't my cup of tea. Fast forward to now, sort of getting the same kind of thing where, you know, a lot of independent people are getting crowdfunding, but then they don't get the money. And you know, it's like, you know, get your money first, get it, do it right. There's this game. I don't know if you ever heard of this game, Limbo.
No.
Okay, it's a side scroller. Great game. Check it out. It totally blows my mind with their imagination. They made another game called Inside. Excellent. Mm-hmm. They're just like, they're 1 hour games. Or like, well, it depends on how many times you fail at the thing, but at the what do you call it? The thing they want you to do. I can't think of the word. You gotta attempt whatever, climbing and then get away from the bad guy, that kind of thing. My brain is good for nothing today.
No, you're good. You're fine.
Okay, I'm good. Those two games are really, really good. Especially, you should check out Inside. If you just go to YouTube, it's just, you'll be like, wow, creativity through the max. But long story short is they did it the right way. They got $4.5 million. They hired a real composer, and then they put the game out, and they did it the right way. They didn't do it this half-ass sort of please, please, please with the crowdfunding. Mm-hmm. And there's only so much you could beg. You know, and to me, that's begging. There's a difference between promoting and begging.
Yeah, you know? I understand.
You know what I'm saying. So I like to promote. Please check out my music and all that stuff, but I don't like to beg. I hate begging. That just seems very, I don't know, just not my cup of tea. But if it's, I know it's the new thing to get to do that crowdfunding and all that stuff. But after a while, you know, you see thousands and thousands of pages of people doing the same thing of begging and begging. I'm like, why don't you just do it? Put it together, you know, and get it done.
Well, you know, luckily some people do it. This is one of the smart ways I like doing it is they have the project completed. Then they ask for money.
Yes.
So you know it's like, well, they have a viable project done. You know, they created something, an album, a book, a movie, whatever. So it's like, I know it's real. I know it exists. Yep. So.
Yep. It's called proof of concept.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, sometimes it's difficult, though, because especially when it comes to film or something like that, you know, it's just like the numbers get to be really high.
Yes, I totally understand it. It's not the same world. It's a completely different world. Whereas before, you know, and I had to adapt to that too, because you're stuck in the world that you knew. It was like we had to go to the movie theater, and that was it.
Right.
There was no streaming. There was no nothing. There was no Instagram. There was no Twitter. There was no social media. Nothing. That was it. So it was magazines pretty much and newspaper and at TV. And that was it. That was it. And then the world survived. I mean, the world was good then, you know, it wasn't it wasn't a horrible thing, but now it's, everybody seems to want to be the creator and nobody wants to be the fan. You know, at some point you got to tap out.
That's a great line, man. You should put that on a t-shirt. I think you'll make millions and you can do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah. I wish. Nobody. That's another thing. Nobody buys t-shirts. I hate when people say that. No, but I'll tell you a quick story. You know, they always tell you, listen, if you can't make any money on whatever, let's say YouTube or whatever else it is that you're doing. Like if you're making music, like I didn't get into music to fucking sell t-shirts, idiot. I hate that fucking logic. Stop. Nobody wants to buy. If I'm not known enough for them to buy my music, why would they buy my t-shirt? And plus, t-shirts cost money. Yes, there's no profit.
No,
I went to the Guns N' Roses show. You know what it costs for the t-shirts?
No, how much now?
$45.
Jesus Christmas.
$45.
Man.
And you know what? And I'll tell you this. This is another thing people don't know. They all think that it's that the bands are being greedy, and they're not being greedy. Because you know what? It's you gotta make the t-shirt, because you gotta make it first. You can't do this on a on-demand, print-on-demand deal.
Right.
You got to have the shirts at the concert, otherwise you can't sell them. Mm-hmm. But guess what I didn't know? This is what I learned now. Is like, I thought figuring the band is at the arena or whatever it is, and the arena is going to make money on selling beer and soda and whatever else they sell at the show. But the arena is now got their hands in the cookie jar for the t-shirts, for the merch.
See, I used to buy band t-shirts because, you know, in the 80s and all, that was the only way the band made money.
Yeah, but 10 bucks, 12 bucks.
Yeah, 10, 12, 20 was the most I ever paid.
Yeah, exactly. I was just saying, at 15, I was starting to get like, you know, you guys are pushing it. It's just a t-shirt. It's only a t-shirt. It's not a girlfriend, you know?
Oh, man.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying is that's where it is now. So when people say, oh, you could do this and monetize. No, you can't. You know, you can't. If you sell one or two shirts, it's not a living.
Right.
That's not going to do anything for you. I hate that. And people, they parrot that information and it gets regurgitated bazillion fucking times. And it's no, you do music because you like music, not to fucking sell t-shirts that hopefully, you know, you could do on demand. It just doesn't work. I don't know anybody that's doing that.
Yeah, so what are you doing right now in regards to horror, creating horror music or something like that? What are you doing?
I'm stuck, and I don't want to.
I'm glad I brought it up.
Yeah, right? I'm stuck between two worlds because I put out an album on Friday the 13th in October of 2017.
Right.
Hopefully, I don't know when this goes live, but whatever, doesn't matter. Promotion is promotion. Doesn't have to be on the day. It's not like that's going to make that amazing. But
in a week or two.
Yeah. It'll go on. Okay. So I'll just throw a tweet out and say, thanks to the Crash Palace guys on Friday the 13th, and I'll throw something else on there. Anyway, what did you ask me again? Shit, I got lost.
Well, what are you doing with horror right now?
I want to finish my promotion, which was, that was real fun. With the podcasting, and I don't want to say I'm a writer because it's up in the air. Until I'm published, I don't want to say it. I will say I'm an aspiring writer, but
No. You're a writer. You're not an author. How about that?
Oh, okay. No, but I like it to be official because I could have went the Kindle route in the beginning, but a lot of people were doing that, and I was like, no, it's too much. It's too many people, and I know it was new. It's just like VHS.
Yeah, you don't like the oversaturation of things.
Yeah, oversaturation. How do you get an audience?
Exactly.
If everybody's 99
longevity.
Cents, yes, that's just pretty much what it comes down to. People say, "What do you do?" You just got to keep doing what you're doing, and then.
Yep.
Sometime it's not definable. When do you get over the rainbow? Who knows?
Yeah. Well, you have to define success and happiness for yourself. That's what you need
well,
to
that's,
do.
Well, that's I've defined that for myself.
I figured as much.
Yeah,
you
have to, because if you're chasing after, you know, big bucks, and I've met plenty of guys that had big bucks and houses and mansions. In fact, mm-hmm. I'll tell you about, I won't mention the person, but I bought a $20, not even a $20, probably only $16 back then, cheesecake. And I ate it off a $20,000 plate and a $7,000 fork.
Oh, God.
Okay? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. How do you define happiness? Is it, do I need a $7,000? A fork is a fork.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
But what you asked me was, what am I doing? Yeah, I this is the last podcast of promoting that album, which is called Mysterious Night, which you could find on Bandcamp at www.robertchristopher.bandcamp.com. I'll throw that quick in there.
Sure,
and you can find all my socials on there, my pertinent socials. The links are on there, so I don't have to say at 50 times. I'll spare your audience that. And I've written, I have a bunch of material, but I never could quite figure out which way to go because the world was kind of like flippy floppy there for a while. You had the post 9/11 world, and then you had the war, and then we had the 2008 collapse.
Yep.
So I never really, you know, I kind of like I was, and then I got blasé with that because I just. What's the right word? Like, I know that I've been around the block, and they try to talk to you like you're a teenager, and you're like you got stars in your eyes, and I'm like, no, I know how this works. I know how the system is. You get another yacht, and I get nothing. So
you get $1.26.
Yeah, $1.26. No, pretty much they go. This is how it felt, and I went to, I won't say what publisher, but whatever. I talked to someone, and they pretty much like, you know. And I know I'm nobody. I know it's the first book, but you're asking me to spend all kinds of money to do all of this crazy touring. And I'm like, I'm kind of out of that phase of my life. I don't want to do that. If I wanted to do that, I wouldn't even do it with a rock band now either. It's just, unless you're Metallica or something, you do it for fun because it gives you something to do. But that world is gone. It's no more. There is no records. There's very few record stores. You're not selling records.
Bleaker Bob's is gone in the village. It's
gone. Everything, like all the cool places I used to go to, even the Tower Records was cool. You would meet cool people too, and the people that worked there they wouldn't rip you off. They would explain to you that even though it's different, let's say you're looking for whatever Black Sabbath or something,
right?
And the guy will say it's like Black Sabbath, but it's this and this and this, and so you didn't feel ripped off even if you didn't like it. You felt like, okay, that guy's cool. He's not being a jerk to me and just trying to sell it. Like, he's not some 15-year-old kid like working at McDonald's and like trying to push you out the door. No, I miss that community of cool people. I know that Spotify is trying to quote unquote recreate that with, like, if you like Metallica, you might also like Megadeth. No kidding. You know, it's so silly. I mean, you can't recreate that with a program or
no.
You just like what you like, and you never know what you're gonna like because you're gonna mature, you're gonna change. Some people never change, but for me, I probably always was listening like a musician, but I didn't know it because I liked a lot of things. People would go like, "Wow, you're a weirdo. How could you like Wham? How could you like Duran Duran?" Mm-hmm. I was like, "I just like I listen. If I like the song, I like the song. I don't I don't judge. I don't. I'm not like again. I don't sleep in a coffin." There are no inverted crosses. Satan is not my friend. And I don't eat chocolate. What was it? I don't eat Count Chocolate for breakfast. Every breakfast.
Right, right.
I eat bacon and eggs and some protein powder and tuna fish and all other kinds of things.
Well, you know, we know you have your album out and all. Are you doing? Do you have any upcoming projects for any like horror movies or something? Are you writing the score for anything? Or
you know that? Yeah, I was. I was just talking to a few people today, but a lot of things seem to. It's even the successes and failures are coming very, very quick. I'll talk to someone at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I'll find out that they won't need me.
One of those deals.
No. That's just the way it's the nature of the beast. It's a lot of independent games. Yeah. They can't get the financing. I can't do it. I can't. You want to do it for free? That's your life. It's different.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of that. It's the independent films. I'm in that maybe phase because, like I told you, the first experience. I didn't tell you the second experience. The second experience was about 8 years ago, maybe 7 years ago. It was a film. It was a major film that should have been made in the 90s because it was pitched as a using two early 70s movies. So it was already like 40 years out of date. If they would have made it in the 90s, maybe it could have, you could have used those references. But saying it's like The Exorcist meets this today, that doesn't work.
Right.
I mean, The Exorcist was a big phenomenon in 73. It's not... Yeah. Not anymore. It was great, but not today. Anyway, long story short, they hired, I believe, 10 synth composers.
Wow.
And I was like, yeah, because they can. This is what I don't want to ruin people's dreams or like be negative. I don't want to sound negative, it's like it's just the way it is. It's like you go and you go, why do you need so many people? Why?
Yeah.
It's just like screenwriting. Why does it? They have one screenwriter. Why is his screenplay not good enough? Why do you need to hire a screenwriter, take his screenplay, then hire five other screenwriters, then you get five watered-down versions, then you hire someone else to take the five watered-down versions, put it back together? I don't understand.
I don't either, and I'm a screenwriter, so.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. So then you understand I didn't know this either, that there's arbitration on screenplays.
Yeah, there can be, and usually on screen too, when you see written by,
right, and a story by,
yeah, the written by is usually the last three people who touch the script, usually the original and the last two. But now, like I just saw Ant-Man, which was not good, Ant-Man and Wasp, and it had five writers on there, and it's like, what the hell do you need five writers
That's probably why it sucked.
Exactly why it sucked. Too many cooks spoil a pot, right?
Yeah, too many chefs.
Too many chefs.
Yep, and it depends on what day you ask me. What am I doing and what am I not doing? Because it will come to some sort of agreement, or I'll be like, or someone will say, oh, this or that or this, and I say okay, but or they'll have a drawing. I'll get a very early I don't know what you concept art.
Yeah.
Concept, that kind of thing. And I'm like, okay, I'm not getting a vibe from this because it's just a picture. What kind of game is it? What is it atmospheric? What do you want me to do?
Sure.
And then it's been a lot of that kind of, in the morning I'm doing something, in the afternoon I'm not doing it. It's been that kind of way. And then, like I said, that 10, what do you call it? 10 synth composers, really another time that made me feel so not worthless, but like why? Like, I can understand two. Maybe the two guys could work together, build a friendship. But the script was like, I don't know, 15 screenwriters. I already knew that this was...
It was a train wreck.
And from your experience, now you know when it's going to be a fucking train wreck, right?
Usually from the beginning.
So that's what I'm saying. I already know the pitfall, so why fall down it?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's why it's like, what am I doing? It's I'm doing a whole lot of nothing, but kind of sort of like peeking my head out and seeing what's going on, and then seeing, oh, what, 10 synth composers? good for you. And then really the movie was mediocre. The soundtrack was just a bunch of fucking noise just because they were aiming for, I don't know, the lowest common denominator or people that just want to go to the, no, just that. I shouldn't even say that. I guess that some people are just easily swayed by visuals and loud in the movie theater. And that's all it was. The story was not that good. The actors were just, you could see paycheck in their eyes and was pretty mediocre. And the music was just, it was obnoxious. Mm. And I like a whole lots of different noisy industrial kind of stuff, but this was just loud to be sensational. I don't know what the right word is.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because when I think industrial, I think of the movie that Brandon Cronenberg directed, David Cronenberg's son, Antiviral, and that music just blew my mind. And it's definitely an industrial alternative feel, but I mean, there's so much when you make a movie like that. You have to, it's timing. It's when to use the music, when not to use the music, and besides, you know, how, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you could go back to the movie Seven with David Fincher and look at, that blossomed into a good relationship between him and, Nine Inch Nails. What's his name?
Trent Reznor.
Yeah. That blossomed into a good relationship where... But even Trent, and I was like, good for him. I was clapping when I saw it on Twitter. He's like, the shows that he was doing now, he's like, wait in fucking line and buy a ticket. This way, because he doesn't want to gouge you.
Right.
The artist, we don't want to gouge you. Trust us, people. We don't want to gouge you. We don't want to, please don't steal our music. And please, if you like it, pay for it. But we don't want to gouge you. It's the middleman that wants to gouge you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's the
Ticketmaster is the devil.
Ticketmaster, and then the what's the other thing that sucks up the tickets? What the SeatGeek?
Oh, I don't.
There's some apps and there's another one.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Stop there. They've got the base. They were getting you could get baseball tickets for like $2 because people had spent the money for the season ticket and they figured if they even got anything back in return.
Mm-hmm.
They take it because they weren't going to go to the game. But for shows, it was Ticketmaster, then somebody else, and then who knows who's hustling in the street. I don't know if those guys are still doing that anymore. But I applauded him. I was like, yeah, wait in line. What's the rush? What happened? Like, why is the world in such a rush? I used to wait in line for a ticket, and I got my ticket, and I was happy. I had my ticket. When I hear these stories of people going to games or something, and then someone's in their seat, because they have some computer printout of something. No. I was like, I want a ticket. Why is this? Why was that system so hard? Nobody could fuck with it. Nobody could. You can't hack the ticket. It's you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just what's wrong with that? I applauded him for that, but that was a good thing for him. Was he went to Seven, and then he did a couple of movies, which I don't know what people thought, but I guess you reach a point where you're beyond reproach.
Yes.
And he just reached that point where it's like, okay, it's Trent Reznor. Everybody knows Trent Reznor. He's going to get the Oscar for this. Was it The Social Network? I really wasn't.
I didn't see it.
You
wasn't interested.
Yeah, exactly. You didn't really miss all that much. It wasn't all that of his music wasn't. I mean, I've been impressed with other things that he's done.
Right.
And I've been impressed, believe it or not, to bring it back to horror. A lot of independent films.
Like.
And let me finish. What do you call it? Threw me off there for a second.
Yeah. It's my
fault,
man.
You didn't blow it. I got it. I'll get to you for a second. I mean, like a Hellraiser, like 6. I know most people will say, "Oh my God, why is this?" But you know what happens is they have a small amount of money. The actor is probably catching a break, so they're motivated. The director is probably catching a break because they're not doing – if they're doing Hellraiser 6, they're not doing, you know, Titanic, right? You know, they're not in the upper echelon. You know, they're not the next Spielberg. Or I don't even know who the next anybody is anymore, really. It's just crazy the way the movie business has changed. But the director will be motivated. The actors will be motivated. And so you wind up going, wow, this was a way better film than I thought. I go, this was really good. Like, I want to almost like say, hey, check this out, you know? And then people are like, I don't want to see Hellraiser 7. I only like, you know, this or whatever. You know, a lot of those films are really good. And what I've noticed is a lot of it's cello. Okay. Let me tell you. Okay, I'll give you the movies now. The Ritual, which was
nice, yeah,
interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Though a lot of people make much of the ending, but whatever, you know, it's what
I
it
loved
was.
It. I thought it was the ending was stronger than the book. I thought.
Really, I didn't read the book.
The book's great. The first like 2/3 of it is just awesome.
Oh, okay, yeah. Clown.
Yes, I like that too.
Okay, did you see Ex Machina?
Oh hell yeah!
All those A24 studio. I hear that their movies are really good. Mm-hmm. The Devil's Candy.
Yeah. Could have been a better movie, but the music was strong.
Yeah, the music was strong. No. That's what I wanted to tell you. I almost said it. I didn't fall into my New Yorkerism. I was gonna say, use guys.
You could say it, man. You're
only one guy, so I could say it in singular. You guy. if they would just put one line extra of logic. You were talking about a movie where the girl fell over the something and she landed on a tree. It was some independent film.
Oh,
like,
yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Yeah, and I tweeted at you and I was like, I know what you mean. It's got to be some sort of logical. It can't just be like, you know, amazing out of the blue.
Right. There needs to be a logical progression.
Well, what I would tweet it to you was I said that, you know, like the movie, what is it again? I Spit on Your Grave.
Yes.
They raped the hell out of this girl, which I hate those kind of movies, but yeah. Whatever. It happens in real life, so whatever. I'm not going to be that kind of person, but it's like, okay, enough is enough. It's like all of them had raped her already.
Yep.
And she's walking out of the house, wherever she was, and she gets to a bridge, and all of a sudden she turns into MacGyver. Right? She dives off the bridge. She could hold her breath for like an hour. She's Aquaman. She swam 10 miles. I was like, how do you explain that? See, now I would say this. You could give me your screenwriter point of view, right? One line of dialogue or maybe a line and a half. She could get when she gets the gas and the guys are all, hey, what's up, pretty girl? You got sexy legs, right?
Right.
And all she could have said was, yeah, you know, 4 years on the swim team. Or, you know, that and my dad was a scuba diver or something. Say something that you can explain why all of a sudden she could swim upriver. You know,
I was like, no, wow. I know exactly what you're
it's
saying.
That's why when I heard you, I was like, yes, I know what you mean. You cannot. Same thing with the Devil's Candy. Just one thing you could have just changed. Right.
Yeah.
You can't have the guy shoot you with a shotgun at point blank range.
Mm-hmm.
And have you fall. Mm-hmm. And then have the and you see these in all the procedural shows. You have the nice flow of blood come out the pool. The pool's all nice. And then get up and be Superman.
Correct.
What he could have done is shot him. And if you notice that to the left or to the his right, the shooter's right, he could have shot him, and you could have had the actor fall, and that room was dark. And then that could have been like, we don't know. Maybe he grazed him. Maybe he just shot him in the arm, and maybe it's. It's a wound, but a survivable wound.
Right.
You know?
I know what
instead,
you mean.
Instead of like shooting him right in the chest, the pool of blood, I'm like, he's dead.
Yep.
In my world, that's dead.
Yeah.
I don't know how much more dead. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. This is how I critique movies, stuff like that. Yeah. Like you met the Devil's Candy. They're in a room that's on fire for like 3 minutes. In reality,
yes,
they all would have been. You know, you live in the city. Yes. They'd be dead. Yes. It'd be done.
It would be done. Or they would just or smoke inhalation.
Sure.
You know, but they don't think about that. I understand they had 20 days. See, this is where I go. I don't like to knock them, but then I'll tell everybody. I'll inform them like. You know, they had 20 days to shoot. They didn't have that much of a budget.
Right.
And I'm sure that he said this. I'm sure he said it because he probably said this sucks. But, you know, like while they're there, but he's probably saying, OK, I only have $100,000 left. I can't do practical fire. It's cheaper for me and easier for me to do CGI fire.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to that's it. I'm going to put it out there with all its flaws. It's the same thing when people complain about Halloween. How did Michael Myers learn to drive?
I was like, exactly.
I'm sure that John Carpenter was sat there one day and looked at the script and he was like, all right, you know what? I've got people in. It's sort of like what Spielberg said with Jaws. Okay, once I got people reeled in, pretty much you could do anything you want at the end.
Yeah.
You know, as long as it's satisfying. I mean, can you really blow up a shark with the oxygen?
No.
Who knows? Who cares? Yeah. Right? At this point, who cares? It's made its billions of dollars.
Yeah.
So
left its mark.
And it's too hard to critique something that's old or even modern. It's too. You got to at least give the people some reference into, like, okay, they only had this much money and they only had this many days to shoot. And right. I'm sure that there was a – what do you call the person again that reads the script to keep the continuity?
There's a script supervisor and there's also a continuity person, yeah.
Right, continuity person, right. So there's a continuity person. I'm sure that they looked at it and said, this is – how do you explain this? And they probably have
they
a
probably
conversation.
Didn't. they probably
did. Yeah, exactly. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. I'm just thinking that he had the thought had to at least be in his head because it's so obvious. You shot him right in the chest. He's dead. You did the pool of blood. You got the overhead shot of the pool of blood, and I'm like, okay, he's dead. Okay, now how is this going to end? Oh, he's going to get up. Oh, he survives the gunshot wound. He should have a hole in him.
Exactly. No?
That's the way I feel. But when you were describing that, I'm picturing this girl falling on this tree.
Yeah.
You said she was impaled. What did she do? She got up and then what?
Yeah, that was the movie Revenge, yeah.
Revenge. I have to check.
She was impaled. Her back was broken. She's bent in half practically. Oh. And, you know, like 15 minutes later, she comes back. It's like, well, she's got to be... It's got to be right. like a zombie Revenant movie because there's no way in reality that would happen.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, either pick your poison. Like, say...
Set up the rules. That's all you need to do.
Yeah,
let me know the rules first.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. If you're going to tell me this is a fantastical story, I'll believe that she got impaled and then her ghost is getting revenge or her spirit is getting revenge. But if she's going to be impaled, broken back, and then all of a sudden she's going to be like Wonder Woman, Super Cop, I don't know...
Yeah.
It don't make sense. I'm like, why? That's what I hate about the. And I'm not gonna. I don't want to knock horrors on a horror people or a horror.
No,
fan.
You can. We do it all the time.
Oh, you do? Okay, good. I'll knock them because I hate the fucking horror logic. Stop using horror logic. Use real people logic. It's so stupid. Did you see the movie Human Centipede?
Yes.
Okay. Now tell me, how do you have two police officers with guns, and the guy the villain is on the floor bleeding, but he manages to shoot one cop and he falls into the pool and the other cop is just what numb lost in what did he do an acid trip and he's just lost. He shot both cops. How does this happen in reality?
Rob, you're awesome, man.
Thank you.
You are awesome, man. I love it because I'm that guy. That's the way I look.
Oh, good. I'm that guy too. And I don't hate horror. I even gave it a chance. When people say, you know, check this out, I'll watch it. I don't like rape movies. What's that one? It was really long. Irreversible?
Ooh, yes. Very potent film.
I watched it with a female friend and I was like, listen, if you want to fast forward, I don't like this. I don't like that either. I didn't like the scuzzy, stupid Serbian film. Though I will not... say that none of these movies can be made. I will not go there. I don't want to put like you can only do this.
But they
could have wrote it a little bit better. I was like, come on, you telling me he doesn't know that it's a child underneath the blanket? It's not another adult person. It's like that's what I'm saying. I hate the horror logic. They just want to do it for the people that want to just see like crazy shit or bloody shit or it just has to be cool bloody shit. Or like the movie It. I saw the movie It.
It depends.
They're not throwing even like rocks. They're like fucking bricks. You know? They're so huge and you're hitting the guy off the head. No way.
See,
now, if they were throwing rocks, I can understand like little rocks.
See,
like,
because we've
your
been
hand.
Hit with this shit, you and I.
Yes, yes, exactly.
So we know.
We've been in the real world. We know that that's, you know, hello, that's going to cause a lot of pain. Or if you're going to hit him with a brick, have it like hit him in the leg and have him fall down. No, he got hit in the head and it was like, no. I'm going to throw another brick at you, and I'm going to pick up another brick and another brick. I'm going to throw five bricks at you, and I'm going to hit you in the head each time.
Oh, God. Man.
Was it worth it? I hope I was entertaining. I hope I get to come back because I'll tell you why. You're on the East Coast, man, and I've been doing some podcasts, and that 5, 6, 7 hour time zone gap.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's really killer because it's hard to find the right time where I'm sharp. You know, I want to be sharp. I don't want to be like all the time. You know,
right,
I
right.
want to be able to have my own cogent thoughts.
Sure.
But you know, when it's you know, let's say 3 o'clock in the morning in Europe, what is it, 7 hours back? It's, you know.
Yeah, I've done those interviews before.
Oh, you've done them.
Yeah,
see,
I'm up at like 11 p.m. Yeah. Doing an interview with somebody, and you know, yeah. It's just.
That's why I told you I didn't. Well, you love your podcast, so you don't mind.
I love the knockers.
For me, you love. we love the knockers.
Oh man. So I gotta ask you. I gotta ask you first because we have only like a few minutes left. So my final question.
Final question.
Okay, you've had interviews before. What haven't you been asked in an interview that you've wanted to answer so bad? Like what? Like you're hoping for them to ask you a particular question. So I want to know what that question is, and I want you to answer it right now.
Oh wow, you really did stump me with this one.
I told you I would. I told you.
I know you. I was pre-warned.
Yes, you were.
I was pre. What else? I was pre-warned and post-nasal dripped. What question? Holy cow. Wow. Well, I don't want to get into X-rated material.
Wow.
But people have, I've lived a life, bro.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you could do a whole nother podcast just of shit that I've done. Not that bad, but you know, I worked in a lot of clubs in the city, so I've seen it, you know, I've seen a lot. And I don't want to relive it either. It's doing it now. Working in a club now is just not what it used to. Because there's phones and everything. There's people. Like I was trying to, well, let me put it to you this way. No, I can't say that either. I can't say it. I can't do it, though.
That's all right, man.
Okay, I'm sorry. Wait, let me try.
Well, you can think about it for next time you're on the show.
Oh man, I don't know. It's X-rated.
Well then, we'll talk about it a little bit after the show.
Yeah, after the show. And then you tell me how good it is.
Yeah. Well, how about this? Why don't you tell people right now where they could find you and your stuff again, and then we'll get out of here.
Yeah, we'll wrap it up. Okay. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure.
It's been my pleasure. You've been a great host.
Oh, you're too
kind,
man.
You got an awesome podcast, and I got to listen more often.
That's good. That's good to know.
Yeah, it's hard. Sometimes you're doing your own thing. Yeah. It's been this heat wave and everything. But yes, you could find me at www.robertchristopher.bandcamp.com. If you want to find my pertinent socials, you can find it there because I don't want to say at 50 times.
Mm-hmm.
And my latest album is called Mysterious Night, which was based on my own short story. We never went into that, but it's too late now.
Next time.
Next time. Or for next album. Who knows?
Mm.
And that's it. That was great. I really enjoyed doing this with you. I feel like we bonded.
I think we did too, man.
I feel like we could do. I feel like I could be almost like a regular, maybe like a bi-weekly guy to come on, or a once a month bonus guy to join the Knockers.
Oh my god! Wow, I don't know what my co-host would think of that. But
he's numb, so we'll numb him out. we'll get some Ambisol. We'll numb him out or whatever. He'll save his cats. And we'll numb him out, and he won't know the difference.
Oh, man. That's true. But you know what? There's somebody I have to thank. If it wasn't for Greg Palko at PalkoDesigns.com,
this
would have happened. So
yes. Let me also reiterate. Thank you, Greg Palko, first for doing – he did my art. So you could –
for the cover of Mysterious Night?
No.
Oh.
No, for future albums, I have art ready.
Nice.
I'm pre-prepared. So next time, yes, I got to give him a plug because we worked really good together. See, that's what I'm saying. The East Coast guys, it gets done. We get it done. We don't bullshit. It's like, okay, do this, we do that, we do this. He got it. We got it done in less than 2 hours. You know, because
he's great to work with. He's amazing.
It's hard to judge because you don't know how it's going to look. You have the idea in your head, and then when you see it, you go, nah, that sucks. It's got to move a little. And mm-hmm. and a lot of people don't know fonts, you know. So if you right. say, you know, let's – you could go through a million fonts and never be happy. So I understood where he was coming from, because I know some people that are into graphic design. So I said – I told him, I said, listen, I'm not going to be one of those people that are going to annoy you a bazillion times with a million – you know, like, could you do this? Could you do that? Could you do this? But I was like, just, you got to give me a few, you know, maneuvers, because I want to see how this looks. And then I need some time to absorb,
sure,
you know, to see and go, okay, no, that doesn't work. You're right. That doesn't work. This works. Let's leave it alone.
Yeah.
And yes. So Greg Palko, you can find him. What's his Twitter again? I don't know. Palko. Just put Greg Palko. Found it. Yeah. You'll find them.
Palko Designs Palko on Designs. Twitter, and PalkoDesigns.com is his website. Yes. Highly recommended.
Yes. He's a great guy.
Yeah. And you could find this show on iTunes, of course, and also at CrashPalaceProductions.com, where you could actually see some more of Greg Palko's art as well. And you could also, if you're interested in the merchandise like we talked about, like t-shirts and all that cool stuff, you can go to Redbubble to Crash Palace and take a look at what we have there. So
that's buy his much stuff. Buy his stuff. Buy his stuff.
Buy your stuff. Yeah. Buy your album, man.
Yeah, please. If you like. Only if you like. Yeah. I don't beg. But if you like it and you enjoy it,
that's it.
Then purchase it. That's absolutely the way it goes.
All right, Rob, it's been a pleasure, man. Thank you so much.
I know, it's been great. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye.